I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I am Adam, aka the romantic man for Valentine's Day. And here is Danielle.
Hi.
I'm romantic.
You are romantic.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't I prove me some romance today?
You did prove some romance.
And yesterday?
Yeah, what was yesterday?
I don't know. I did stuff. I cleaned or something. That was romantic.
Okay. Yeah, you did. You surprised me this morning. I was very surprised. You got me, I've been wanting an Apple Watch for a really long time, and you surprised me with one this morning, and you surprised me with the Pride band,
yes,
the rainbow band, which is exactly the band I would have chosen had I gone and bought it myself.
I think I did it all right, except for the fact I knew that you wanted that Pride band, but I also knew that you might want that rose gold, but they don't go together, so I bought them separately so you can at least return one or the other, and replace it. So I tried.
You did awesome.
Yeah.
You really did. And then you made me a Valentine's Day mimosa with a heart-shaped strawberry.
Yep.
Wow.
I did.
And my gift, you know, is not something that you can see. But you can feel it. I have filled this home with love.
You have.
I did not think you were going to get me a present. Had I thought you were going to get me a present, I would have gotten you something, but I just figured you don't want me to spend any money.
Yes, you not spending money is my
gift.
That's
what I figured, yes. But then you spent it on me, so now I feel bad.
And I believe all three kids asked what you got me for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they also asked what I got them for Valentine's Day. Really? Like, you're eating it and drinking it this morning. I got you that milk. And those waffles.
Right.
Okay? I'll put a bow on it next time.
Well, make it red or something.
Okay. They won't eat it then. They'll be like, it's red. I don't want it. It doesn't look like how we usually have it.
Okay. So we are talking about libidos today.
Let's talk libidos.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, besides that, happy Valentine's Day to
happy
everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Not today.
Or Galentine's Day.
That's for girls to get together?
That's just like, yeah, for friends. Or okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be romantic. I have tons of Valentines. No offense.
That's like Friendsgiving?
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, you like just go tell everybody how much you love them. Yesterday, I did spend some money yesterday, but it wasn't on you.
Right.
We went to the local donut place that I always talk about. We picked up a whole bunch of like packs of six donuts to support our local business. And delivered them to a bunch of places. Our cousins all have COVID. Am I allowed to say that?
What? What'd you say? I was reading something.
Our
I'm sorry.
Our cousins have COVID, so we delivered to them.
Okay.
Well, and then we delivered to some people in my parents' neighborhood who we love. And
it's very sweet.
It's very sweet. And to my parents. So.
Yeah. So when this is released, it will not be Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day anymore. So hope you had a wonderful Valentine's Day and romanced each other and had libidos and stuff.
Had libidos,
yeah.
Little libidos. You just open a box and you give them. Wouldn't that be great if you could just give someone a libido?
Like buy a libido? And
buy or there is a pill. When I was researching, there is like this pink pill that's just for women, I think.
Well, obviously, if they make it pink, it's just for women, right?
Right, exactly. It probably costs more, too.
Right, of course.
So they do have this pill, and I didn't do too much research about it because obviously, I think if we haven't heard about it, then it can't be. I mean, you hear about like Viagra for men, which is everywhere.
Hence a blue pill.
A blue pill. Right, a little blue pill.
Because boys don't like pink.
Right, what the hell? Yeah. It's so true when you say that. I never even put that together. Like, so why? Dumb. It is so dumb. But and there's this pink pill you could that supposedly increases your libido. And I don't know, if you're out there and you've taken it before, let us know how it is. But I figured I'd never heard of it before. So how good can it be? I feel like if it was something that was really like Viagra that really worked, then I feel like we would know about it.
Well, I guess Viagra is for a condition that maybe a lot of men
ED, erectile dysfunction,
go through at a certain age. So it's more of
No, it's not just a certain age. It's all different reasons why you experience erectile dysfunction.
But isn't it mostly for older men who can no longer have an erection?
I'm sure that there are a lot of men who take it, but I think there are a lot of younger guys who take it too.
For fun?
No.
Like in This Is 40.
Right. But no, I think that there are really, listen, you could have illnesses.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ton of reasons.
So many reasons.
My point is, it's probably way more of a necessity than this pink pill for libido.
Right, like, I guess you can still have sex without having a high libido. It just isn't the same. So, you just don't want to as much. But the whole inaccuracy is that everyone always assumes that women experience lower libidos so much more often than men. And that is a total myth.
Well, since starting Marriage and Martinis, I find that to be so not the case from the messages that I sneak in and read while you're not looking. Women are way not more than men, but at least as equal to men as far as their libido and their interest in sex and being kinky and, you know, wanting. I've never heard such, wow. I'm impressed. I'm saying that as a positive.
That was one of the questions that I asked on Instagram, and that's why I'm scrolling through Instagram right now to try to find it. I said, did you grow up led to believe that men have a higher sex drive than women? And this is 2021 right now. So us growing up was not that long ago. And we also have a lot of people in their younger 20s and stuff. So this is very recent. 90% said, yes, I grew up believing that men just have higher libidos than women.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way. It's how we grew up. It was what was in entertainment. It was what was in the movies.
Right. And,
it was
and what... look, be careful of boys and, you know, don't date that boy and this and that, and, you know, but it's girls too. And one of the things I was going to talk about was that when you and I were first dating, you said it a little bit in the last episode, I was like raring to go.
Yeah. But that leads us to our first question.
Okay.
Yeah. But before we do that, I actually have a funny story. I don't know if I ever told this one on here. I know I definitely told you, I think. Back in high school, I was dating this girl. So I went to her house one day or one night while her parents were home. And I don't remember how it happened that we ended up in her bedroom. I don't know if she asked me to and I didn't say no. Like, I don't want to disrespect your household and your parents.
Right,
like,
of course.
That sounds like
it's
me in high school,
respect.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, thinking back, of course I should have said no. Like, you know, I'm in your parents' house and their home. No. So, of course, I did. And not having sex or anything like that. But we were in her room and I think her shirt was off. And her mom walked in, opened the door, you know, opened the door, walked in and was like, you need to leave now. And I left and I ended up taking her to prom. And of course, prom pictures were at her parents' house.
Oh my God.
So I go to her house and we're taking pictures. We're getting ready to leave. The dad pulls me aside to the garage. He lights up a cigarette, inhales the fucking thing in like 20 seconds.
Like a dice move?
Yes. Like totally. Like it was probably wrapped around his head. Right, you know, right. When smoke. Like I saw the ash, you know, go from tip to the, you know, to the filter in like 20 seconds. Hey. And then he spoke, you know, and he's like, if you ever fucking disrespect me again or my wife again or my, you know, my household, I will wreck. Like he destroyed me. Mm-hmm. And I just stood there like, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know, sir. I'm so sorry, sir. And he said, go have fun.
So then the question is, did you have sex with her that night on prom night?
No. I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, that's romantic. You don't remember if you had sex on prom night.
Is this about libido? Yeah. So my point was, like, she, like, you know, girls, their libido is just as strong as guys. You know, like, I was not the one who said, hey, let's go to your bedroom. And she said no. And I said, come on, we should really, you know, it was not like that.
Right.
She was probably the one who initiated it. I don't remember clearly, but it was not a question whether or not we were going to go mess around.
Yeah. You know? I think as teenagers, as parents, we always, you know, in the past, it's always worrying about the boy. But I was definitely way promiscuous in high school.
Well, I think, sorry to cut you off, but I just want to comment on that because I would still be way more concerned had Mia ended up dating boys with her going out with boys versus my sons going out with girls, just because, you know, guys are, they're stronger. They can hurt you. They can get you pregnant. There's more things, more serious situations that can happen. So I do look out for guys before girls, just because of what could happen in the outrun. Not to say that they're both, you know, they're both interested in sex the same, let's say, but there's more detriment that could happen to a girl.
Right.
You know,
I also think it's getting more, you know, I do think that guys always have this pressure to lose their virginity younger and everything, but I think that happens with girls too. I, in high school, felt a lot of pressure to lose my virginity, and I didn't lose it in high school. I lost it in college, even though I did every single thing possible that you could do without having actual intercourse. So however you define sex, I don't know, but I did not have intercourse until college. And in high school, I definitely felt a lot of pressure. Like, everybody was having sex except me. I really felt like that. I mean, I was the last of all my friends to lose my virginity. And I definitely felt like a pressure. But I was so, it was my OCD and everything. I was so scared that I didn't. But, and I was petrified of what would happen after. Like, I knew my OCD would go into full drive and I would be, you know, worried about pregnancy, I was even worried about pregnancy, not having sex. I was like, oh shit, like that guy, you know, came a little close to my, you know,
it was airborne.
I only had underwear on and yeah, exactly.
Like, but it flew out of his penis. Into your vagina.
I don't know what I thought, but I was nervous. I remember having that Your Bodies Yourselves book and researching, can you get pregnant without intercourse? Like, I was a little bit nervous.
Oh, well, that's okay. You're, you know, right. As a teenager, you're learning.
Yeah, and you don't learn that stuff in sex ed.
Right.
I mean, they probably tell you in sex ed that you can get pregnant without having intercourse. Right? Don't kiss for more than 10 seconds.
I wonder what they teach you now. Pregnant.
Not much. No? Our kids have done it. Not much different than when we were growing up.
Really?
No, not okay. Much at all. So I asked about our differing libidos over the years. And I think that since we started this podcast, this is one of the main questions we get. And is about libidos and how do we work it when our libidos are different. And it's really great. We have so much fun doing these kinks and fetishes episode and everything and these ways to make your sex life more fun and creative and exciting. But if somebody's libido is low, then all of that means nothing because you don't want to do it anyway. So it's fun to do those episodes, but we also have to remember the fact that some of us don't have high libidos and therefore we don't want to try all this stuff. We barely want to have sex. And especially right now during quarantine and all the stress of everything going on and illnesses and COVID and all of that, it's been a struggle.
Well, yeah, like you just said before, your libido was very high back in high school. You know, not for intercourse, but, you know, you were very sexual, especially when you and I first got together. You wanted sex a lot. And
that wasn't high school. That was at college.
Yeah. After when we were really together, like before we got married, right after we got married. And it was so bizarre for me. My libido was not even, I don't think it's close to what you were looking for. And it's not that, well, actually, it was funny because I spoke to one of my friends and I was like, you know, this girl that I'm dating, yeah, she wants sex a lot. And for some reason, like, I'm not that I'm not into it, I just don't have that libido level. Like, and he said the same thing to me. Like, I thought it was weird for me to think, wait, this girl, she wants to have sex all the time and I'm kind of feeling weird about it. And he said, no, I'm going through the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I was glad to hear it wasn't just me. And I also wanted to say, well, you know what? No, I'm going to get to this in our next question. But so let me jump ahead to what about now? So what do you think changed for you? Because your libido is not what it was when we first met.
Right. Yeah, that was, I think, first of all, when we were first dating, you were only the second guy I ever had sex with. Mm-hmm. The guy before you, nicest guy. I liked him so much. And, you know, it was a good first experience. He was very sweet. He was a gentle guy, really nice. But I didn't have the feelings for him that I had for you. Like when we first met, I was like, I mean, I was in love with you. I was infatuated with you. I just had all the feelings except for the fact that we fought all the time. But I think that it was my first time ever having sex with somebody who I really had those feelings for. And again, you had lots of sexual experiences. I don't think you had a lot of like differing and exciting sexual experience. I think you did the same sex over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
But you still a little bit had done it. And I hadn't. And I guess maybe a little bit I was like making up for lost time. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess you just did it and you're like, I want this. I like this. I want to do more. You know, mm-hmm. I was there for 6 years already. So I'm like, I kind of get it and know it, you know.
Yeah.
For you, it was new and exciting. It was a shiny new thing.
Yes, exactly. I think I was young, I was in shape, I was confident, physically at least. And, I just felt like, I don't know, why am I doing all this dieting if I'm not getting naked all the time?
Put a pin in that because I want to talk about that later.
Okay.
So let's hold off on that for a bit.
Okay.
And for me, I don't think much has changed. I think I'm kind of the same. Do you disagree?
It's so hard to say. Like, I don't know. Do people out there feel like you don't even really know what your libido is right now? Because there's just too many obstacles. Like, I don't really know. Take me on vacation. Give me sun and a hotel room and time away from my kids and nice dinners and, you know, laying on the beach all day with a book. And my libido is going to be a lot different than it is right now at home.
Right. We're putting that same pin in that.
No, people are going to get pissed.
Too bad. We're going to talk about that soon. So
okay. Yeah. So I don't even know what my libido is right now. No, being home and having the kids home 24/7 and being in sweatpants all day and not, you know, I was saying on another podcast that I was on recently, I don't remember which one, but I was saying, you know, it's so interesting because before COVID, I was always at home. I work from home. I'm home with the kids. But on Friday or Saturday night, I would go up to the bathroom, shower, blast my music, put on my heels, put on my pants, my shirt, my jewelry, my makeup, and come out and come downstairs and get ready to leave the house and go out. And it was like a transformation a little bit, right? It was like turning from the mom who stays home with her kids all day and cuts up fucking chicken nuggets and pizza and, you know, like whatever I was doing that day, and going to the bathroom, like having this hour, 45 minutes, hour of just turning into this other person and leaving the house, going out and being your girlfriend and being, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Cause I feel like I do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I like to shower. I used to get, you know, dressed up, you know, jeans with a nice shirt, you know, dressed up and actual shoes and not sneakers, you know? So it was the same thing. You know, it took me 4 minutes and not an hour like you, but
listen, man, work. it's a lot of work.
But it's the same idea. You want to feel good about yourself when you go out and like have a good time.
Yeah.
And like feel like you're feeling your best and looking your best. And yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I'm staying home. You know, we're in sweatpants. We joke about it all the time and everything, but it's not like sexy. It's home. And someone made a point. Messaged me saying, you know, with our bedrooms and stuff, she's like, I don't associate my bed is like where I stay up at night with anxiety and insomnia, and my kids come in and pile in the morning, and my dogs sleep there, and there's just all these reasons why our bed is not really associated with sex. Like,
right, it should be the pool table. That would be much better. The dogs can't get on there.
My back is, I can't do that anymore. We should have done it while we had, we never did it while we had the chance.
I'm not having sex on the pool table.
Why?
Like, I don't want to,
one day we could have
destroyed that thing, like stain it and no.
Oh man. God. Oh God.
You can clean sheets. You can't clean a pool table.
Yeah, right. You can put a towel down.
I want to get into, so I know I probably annoyed people with putting the pins in those.
Yeah,
comments.
Probably.
So let's get to that after we take a break and we'll jump ahead to those.
Okay.
Things and then go back to your questions again. Sound good?
I don't know
what I just
said. You
have
me so confused.
Me too. All right. Let me gather my thoughts. We'll be right back.
Okay. We told everybody about the night that we had Dakota from Whimsy Rose Outdoors, who set up that beautiful tent for us. And one thing that we didn't really get to talk about is that we had the most amazing grazing table set up by Chef Sophia. She's been on Chopped, and she brought her amazing grazing table experience to us. It was somehow even better than going out to eat, which is something that you and I really miss. And I can't quite describe the visual and the flavorful presentation of what she's able to achieve with her combination of breads, dips, meats, cheeses, and other surprise goodies that were really beyond our wildest expectations. But if you're in the New Jersey, Connecticut, or New York area, and you're having any kind of a celebration, especially with the nice weather coming up, you definitely want to go follow Chef Soph on Instagram at Chef Soph, and she will travel anywhere in those areas to make you the meal of your dreams or a grazing board like you've never seen before. She also just put out a cookbook so that you can make her amazing creations right in your own home. Go check her out on Instagram at Chef Soph, and on her Instagram account, you can get the link to get her amazing cookbook at Chef Soph on Instagram, CHEFSOPH. Go check her out. The first thing I want to make sure I get out there before we take it any further is I think that there is this impression all around that we all think everyone's having more sex than we are, and that everybody's these couples, you know, because of what we see on social media all the time, and we're bombarded with TV shows and movies where sex just seems like this. That it just flows and it just happens so naturally and both people are in the mood at the same time and everything. And I think that we are so conditioned to believe that that's just how it is and we're somehow, you know, like not as sexual as everyone around us. That's all bullshit.
Well, that happens all the time. We were just watching the other day, Jimmy Kimmel was doing like a game on the streets and he took a husband and a wife, put them to, or a couple or whoever, put them side by side with a board and sit and ask them both, how many times a week do you have sex? Or a month or something. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times a month do you have sex?
Yeah.
And they both had to write on their board without looking at each other or knowing what they were saying. And they were, both of their answers together were 10. Or both their answers were, 8. And
10? Maybe, I was like, fucking 10.
I was thinking to myself, and I think it was a week. I don't think it was a month.
No, it was a month.
Was it a month?
Yeah, but even 10 a month.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, what's, like, are we not having enough sex?
Right. Well, we're definitely not having enough
sex.
No,
we're not.
But that's also sort of, first of all, there's ebbs and flows to every relationship, right? And again, we haven't been on vacation in a year, and you're my go-to is usually like a hotel, and we haven't done that. But 80% of couples, what?
Yeah, so it cost me $200 to have sex with you. I have to take you to a hotel. We have to have dinner. We have to.
It's only $200. I don't know what hotel you're going to.
Whatever. Yeah, your hotels. No.
I just know that 80% of couples have mismatched libidos and are not on the same, sexual wavelength at the same time. And when I did the Instagram poll again, I said. What?
Now we have to put a pin in this to come back
to
this.
No, we're not. We're not.
This was another question.
Because if people stop listening right now, this is the one thing I want to get in that I don't want lost.
Okay.
Is that
so we'll do this first.
We all think that we are having less sex than everybody else. But when I said, would you say you and your partner have similar libidos? 75% said no. And then, who has a stronger libido? 60% said my partner. So 40% said I have the stronger libido. 60%. Have you ever gone through a drought period in your relationship without any sex at all? I said for 3 months or more. It was 50-50, which I actually thought it would be more than that, 50-50. But still 50% mm-hmm. said they've gone through a period of and then I said, hold on, what did I say? Are you under the impression that other couples have way more sex than you do? Almost 70% said yes. So everybody thinks that everybody's having more sex, and we're not. Maybe right. some are, but you know, 70%, almost 70% said, you know, yes, I'm under the, so that we're led to believe that everybody else, but actually the average sex for married couples, the average is once a week. So 50 times a year, they say.
Okay. Yeah, we got to step it up.
Yeah, but I'm sure that if you did that survey in the pandemic, it's going to be a lot lower. I would imagine.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I also think, which pertains to us, is when people who have mismatched libidos, it could turn into something that it's not. Like in the beginning, when you wanted more sex than me, you know, it wasn't about that. I don't find you, you know, sexy, and I'm not, it's not, you're yeah, not sexual to me.
If you didn't find me sexy, then you're never going to find me sexy, because that was the best I ever looked.
But it's not even about that. So I just want people to understand, if you're going through a thing where you have a higher libido than your partner or vice versa, no, actually it's if you have the higher libido and your partner doesn't want as much sex as you, it might not be about, don't take it personally. Don't think it's why don't they want me? What's wrong with me? You know, it's not, it's, their libido is just not as strong as yours. And I feel like it could turn into a, what's wrong with me? Why don't you like me? Why don't you want to have sex with, you know what I mean? So I want people to understand, like in our situation back then, it was nothing to do with that. It was just, it was new for you and fun for you. And you were, you know, loving it, you know, because it was so new. And for me, you know, it wasn't the same. I didn't not like having sex with you. I wasn't not attracted to you in any way. It was just a different libido. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
And all, but I also want to throw out there that if you have, you know, you're with a partner that doesn't want sex, that's an issue. That's
you mean
something.
Ever.
Yeah, that's something you have to, you know, you married this person or you committed to this person, you know, for life. That's not fair.
You mean like ever?
Yeah, if they want sex once every well, 6 months.
There are therapists that help with that. And you know, that's something to, that's the next step. There are a lot of really good sex therapists. And I know that there are people who say, you know, that they don't want to go or that somehow it's embarrassing or humiliating. No, that is a real thing that, you know, they have, there are sex therapists. You can't get a appointment with them because they're so booked up with clients.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just saying that needs to be a conversation before you commit.
No,
to make sure. I think
that,
so.
But you don't know, that might happen later. Listen, you're talking about my strong libido when I was when we were first together. Well, then 9/11 happened. My OCD was out of control, and for months, I didn't feel like I could have sex. So that was maybe a year and a half after we were together.
Yeah, I'm more thinking if somebody just does not have a high libido and they're not into sex and don't want sex, I just feel like that's not fair to the partner they're committing to. If,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to figure out what's wrong, because there are a whole bunch of issues why it could be medication. It could, you know, there are lots of reasons why it could be. It could be stress that you don't realize is going on, some kind of trauma from their past, or there are ways to figure out what's happening. And that is obviously a conversation that yeah, needs to happen.
That's what I'm saying. You have the conversation
yeah.
before.
Yeah. But you know, there was during pregnancy I was pregnant. I mean, I was pregnant four times and miscarried once, but I was full term pregnant, three times for 9 months. We did not really have sex. Maybe I would like throw it in once, or I gave you one or two blowjobs during that 9 months. It was not for me. Not only did I not have a sex drive, I felt like my body was not my own when I was pregnant. Like it was just, it felt foreign to me, and it felt a little bit like aliens had invaded my body. And a little bit, that kind of is what it is, you know, I don't know. Is that a terrible thing to say? But that's how I felt. I felt like my body was not my own. And I felt my entire system changed. My smell changed, my skin changed, my, you know, just everything changed. And I had zero interest. Yeah, but that's not common.
The only time I remember having sex while you were pregnant was when you were pregnant with Mia, like in the beginning. And it was a disaster. Like we couldn't find the position. It wasn't comfortable. It
was, and I was probably anxious the whole time.
Yeah. So we didn't even, and I knew you were not into it. So we just didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were patient. You were nice.
I was.
I think. I mean, I don't know. I think you were patient. Were you freaking out like internally?
No.
Right.
No, because I don't have that, you know, need, which is another question you asked me. Like, I don't feel a need for sex. I feel an excitement. Mm-hmm. But I never get to the point where like I need it. And if I do, I'll just, you know, rub one off and be like, because I know you're not, you know, like even yesterday morning, I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I knew you're going to sleep till like 7:30. And I felt like the urge, and I'm not going to go wake you at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I rubbed one off for 30 seconds. Right. I was done.
What did you do? You like lock the door?
I locked the door, you know. Open my computer, make sure the TV's on just in case there's, you know, noises.
Right. How often do you think you do that during the week?
No. Like it's probably a weekend thing only. Hmm. And maybe every other weekend.
And then you take your Juul out and start Juuling after?
No, during.
No way. Yeah, I definitely think that during... people are having sex during the week. Like, I don't even, is that a thing?
I don't know. It used to be.
Yeah.
I get home and I'm done.
Yeah.
And I know you are. Maybe if you, you know, showed more of a,
interest.
Yeah. Thank you. If I saw there was an interest with you during the week, I might, you know, get it, but
it's just not possible right now. But I, you know, that was a huge thing was pregnancy. I think we've gone through dry spells probably like, I don't know, a bunch of times and gotten back into the groove after. And then I think we have times where like we've had sex a lot. I mean, for us, probably not for other people. It might be other people's average.
Right.
But, you know, and when we're on vacation, it's a lot. It's every day vacation. And, you know, so I think it all depends. But the main point that I wanted to make is that, you know, we're under the impression, and I've long been under the impression, that everybody else is having so much sex. It's just not the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. Where are we?
What's the next question that you had?
Well, we didn't get to that point yet. So I should probably get there now.
Okay.
I did some research, so a little pat on my back for me.
Good for you. Yeah.
I went to WebMD, which is a great place to research.
So do you now think you're dying? Yeah. Anytime I go to WebMD, I think I'm dying.
Of course.
I leave WebMD and I'm like, I should not have done that.
No, but I found a quote, which I think you will appreciate because it's from your favorite woman.
Brené Brown.
Esther Perel.
Oh, I love her too.
Yeah, second best or favorite.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. But because what you were saying before where you were... You know, what you need for sex. You need to go to a hotel or go on vacation or go, you know, be romance. And go. So the difference, in my opinion, between men and women feeling the urge for sex is like so out of the universe. It's so completely different, which is what you were saying earlier, which I said I want to talk about soon. So I found this quote from Esther Perel, which I thought made a lot of sense. She says, men and women travel slightly different paths to arrive at sexual desire. I hear women say in my office that desires originates much more between the ears than between the legs, says Esther Perel. For women, there is a need for a plot. It is more about the anticipation, how you get there. It is the longing that is the fuel for desire. Like there's all these moving parts that need to happen to get women in the mood.
Correct.
Like so much. It's, you know, for me, for I think for most guys, it's sex. Yes, let's go.
Mm-hmm. It's more physiological.
It's such a foreign thing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I would never think to myself, all right, well, did she make dinner? Did she take me to a hotel? You know, there's no thought behind it.
Right.
It's like, you say sex, I have a boner, let's go have sex.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
Yeah, there's a reason why the, you know, 50 Shades of Grey became the best-selling trilogy of all time, and Bridgerton, like I said in the last episode, has more views on Netflix than any other show with 83 million views, and I would love to see the breakdown of gender on that because I'm sure it's, you know, got to be 95% women. But there is a reason for that. It's because we do obviously need that for our libido. And listen, when you, I don't want to make it material, but when you give me the Apple Watch or when you make me even the mimosa with the heart shape strawberry, like there is something that I'm sort of like, he's thinking about
so
me.
So selfish.
You mean, no, it's all not about selfish me. Because I think about then how I want to give back in other ways. You know, chore play is a thing. I truly believe that. I think that when you help around the house and I see you like helping the kids with their homework or doing something with the kids, I'm like turned on.
I don't believe that. If I had to guess, I would say I do a lot more than most around the house. And I don't get the, all right, look, wow, look what you did. Let's go. Like, that doesn't happen.
Well, what am I saying? I don't know. Like, sorry, kids. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Yes. We're going to run upstairs.
They should understand.
That's no, how, that's I cannot do them. That. They're already, the poor kids already have to deal with, we have a podcast and we have a this and we have that. I do not need for them to know that we're upstairs, like having sex. So, oh my God.
But I want to take it even a step further, even about the anticipation or the making the initiation of sex to happen.
You're going to say making whoopee?
No. It's even so much more psychological, you know, during sex. You know, guys, I found on there a percent of guys that orgasm, it was lower than I thought. I didn't write it down. I think it was like 75% of guys orgasm, you know, during sex. I can't imagine that to be true. I orgasm 100% of the time that we have sex. Mm-hmm. And I think that most guys do. Obviously, I'm wrong if these quotes
are correct. But there have been times where it takes so fucking long that I'm like if we're drinking or
yeah,
whatever,
exactly.
There are times
right.
where I'm like, no, you can go finish on your own.
Right,
I'm
that's true. That happened 3 times. Right. So,
okay.
But what it takes for you to complete, to orgasm, to, you know, whatever, it's like a psychological game, and it could happen. It could not happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, and I don't fake it anymore.
I don't even care if you fake it. I mean, that,
oh.
why would I care if you fake
but
it?
But why do I, why would you want me to, like, why would you want me to fake it?
I don't want you to fake it.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, but what do you mean? Why would you care?
Why would I care if you fake an orgasm?
you wouldn't be upset about that?
If you fake it?
Yeah.
I think you're not understanding me.
What?
I don't need you to fake an orgasm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
I have no interest in that. But I know you've had orgasms with me.
Yes.
So I don't think it's me that doesn't bring you to an orgasm.
Right.
But you don't orgasm every time. You don't maybe not even half the time. So it's just like for guys, it's just a simple thing. It's, you know, point A goes into slot B, and then you come, and then it's done, and you always do it, and it always happens.
Oh, happy Valentine's
right?
Day, guys.
It's just a, you know, what's the word?
Physiological.
Like, this is what we, you know,
biological,
from the
physical,
from
logical.
The caveman days, we were out there to spread our seed, and, you know, and it's just an easy, it's not a process. It's just,
right.
Bam, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Oh.
Even more romantic.
Aww.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, all joking aside. Like, I feel like for most guys, it's just, yeah, of course. You know,
right.
You say sex, I'm in. I orgasm every time, of course. And every step of the way for women is just another process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a mind game or
well,
whatever.
I think also is that for us, I get into the state of mind where if I haven't had sex in a little while, I'm like fully content not having sex. So I'm like, you know, I get to go into bed. I watch my HGTV shows. I fall asleep. You know, it's relaxing. I get to fall asleep and have a good night's sleep and everything. Like sometimes I need to be reminded that I love it. And you come in sometimes. And there are sometimes when I'm like, nope, go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go away. I'm in no mood. First of all, if I haven't showered, I feel disgusting. And that is a total turnoff for me that I feel disgusting. Second of all, there are times when I'm like, I have not slept, or I am just moody and cranky. And no, I don't want to. Or I'm worried about the kids coming in. But there are sometimes when you come in and I'm sort of like, all right, maybe I could get in the mood. I'm not now. And then once we start, then I get aroused and I get into it. And once we've done it, I'm sort of like, oh, right. Like, that's why we do it.
Oh, yeah. This is not bad.
This is fun. why have we gone the past 3 weeks without doing it? Like, I think sometimes we also, and sometimes I think women, we need that arousal. Like, once we start and once we get comfortable with ourselves and with you and we're, you know, I think then we get aroused. So it's not, even if we're not aroused before, we can become aroused. You know, we can become aroused during it. Yeah.
Also on WebMD,
oh boy.
My go-to place. I don't know where this quote or who said it on the website, but I thought it was interesting where they say men want sex more often than women. So kind of contrary to what we were saying before, where we think it's kind of equal. At the start of the relationship, in the middle, and after many years of it. And it's not just for heterosexual couples. He says gay men also have sex more often than lesbians at all stages of the relationship.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So no matter what, you know, the situation is, guys want more sex.
Hmm. So, yeah, that might be.
I thought it was interesting.
Okay. I don't know. That I think it also depends on age. I mean, we actually do have a few experts, quote unquote, booked who are going to come on and talk about like women's libido and the myth of it and how we can, you know, make it all a little bit more balanced and equal. But one thing is that, you know, the communication factor, like for us, we have this podcast and we talk all the time and everything, but obviously we need like private conversations and stuff also. And I think the problem is that people feel so awkward talking about this. Nobody wants to say to somebody, you know, why don't you want sex more? Like, why is it? So we don't talk about it. And that's a problem because I think that we feel like anything we have to talk about, then it's no longer spontaneous or anything. We expect sex to just happen naturally. And I don't think that's always the case. I think that we do need to talk about it. And that's why this is not a shameless plug, or it is a shameless plug. But with the date night questions that I put out on Fridays, my main hope is that, like, if you bring them to dinner and you're talking, or you sit down with cocktails and you're talking, and that's just, you're going to every Friday do that, then you start having these conversations that don't need to be brought up by you. It just sort of happens. And sometimes the questions are going to be about sex. Sometimes they're not. But it makes a conversation happen that wouldn't otherwise happen.
Yeah, we never discussed any of the stuff we talk about in the podcast before we started the podcast.
No.
I mean, this, you know, has led us to having these conversations and discussions.
Right.
Which is why I think, you know, things have been so great for us in the last couple of years.
Right. But we also obviously have to have them not on the podcast. You know, it's also something that we need to talk about privately.
Yeah, no, of course. But we just figured it out a couple of years ago that this is a necessary thing. We're not saying you guys need to start a podcast, but, you know, we did it. So
you need to just have a conversation.
Yeah. So that's why we do the Friday Five, like you were saying, you know, just to start engaging so you can know how to start the conversation, what questions to ask.
Right.
All right. I found that quote I was talking about before, the percentages and everything, but we have to take another break.
Okay.
And then, all right, we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I want to get your feedback on this and see what you think. How accurate this is or not. It says men on average take 4 minutes from the point of entry until ejaculation. Women usually take around 10 to 11 minutes to reach orgasm, if they do. That's another difference between the sexes, how often they have an orgasm during sex. Among men who are part of a couple, 75% say they always have an orgasm as opposed to 26% of women.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely don't always have an orgasm, that's right. For sure. Although sometimes after you leave, I do.
Wow. I'm gonna leave.
I think that's common. I think that's super common.
So
I mean,
why? I want to know why. Why do women not have an orgasm during sex?
Well, that's something that we'll ask one of the experts coming on. But, you know,
like,
listen,
do you feel different?
It's like you, when you, I'm sure when you, when you masturbate, when you jerk off, I'm sure that you know exactly what to do to make it happen super quick.
Like, I mean, it's like 30 seconds.
Right. Me too. I don't need
really?
A long,
so
and I
why?
Can do it 17 times and, you know.
That sucks.
I don't know. And it's not, you know, like I said, like I love so many things about what we do together. That's not it. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I guess that, yeah, like we're more complex and we have our anatomy is complex. And there are times also, I think, when, if the buildup has been more, it's quicker. You know, sometimes like just coming in after a long day when I'm just like with the kids all day and everything, even though I enjoy doing it and it feels good, it's not the same, you know, it's not
no,
that same.
I don't know.
Right.
Like it doesn't make sense.
Right. I don't know. I don't know why sometimes you just hit the spot and sometimes you don't. Like that's, and it's not, why does sometimes it work and sometimes it doesn't? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think that no matter who I was with, that would be the case. But
yeah, I don't take it personally.
Right.
Or should I?
No,
I don't know.
Of course not, because I don't think anybody should. I think there are also people. There's actually there's a girl who just started a. Not just started. She has a podcast. I have to look what it's called. But she based the whole podcast on she had never had an orgasm before. Once she started the podcast and started realizing more about her body and what makes you do it, then she started having tons of orgasms because she, you know, she researched and talked to experts and everything. Like, I don't really know if we know our bodies so well, and I don't know if our partner knows our bodies so well. Like, how often do you even sit down, both of us, I'm not just saying you, and say, what do you like that we do? What do you not like? What are we not doing that you would like? Like, what are your turn-ons? You know, I asked you this question. What are your turn-ons? I don't even know. Like, what are your, I want to know.
I don't know.
Oh. Well, that's fantastic and so helpful.
If you look at my notes, you asked what puts you in the mood, and I have a dot.
So. Oh, dots put you in the mood.
Nothing puts me in the, like, saying let's have sex puts me in the mood.
You know? No, there has to be like there's has to be certain things that happen that turn you on.
I guess it's so simple. It's so nothing. It's, you know, I don't know.
I always want, you know, they talk about pheromones and everything. And that's a whole, I wanted to do like an episode about that. And you knocked it down. But I wanted to do like, because I'm so interested in that, like smells and everything, you know, certain smells that on a daily basis, if we just smelled it out of the blue, we might be disgusted about. But then during sex, like we're turned on, you know.
Is that like in American Pie when he, like, you love the smell of apple pie, so you have sex with it?
No. No, I'm talking about, I think as women, we're so self-conscious about our smell, right? Like about going down there and there's all this, you know, there's all this, the jokes about women and, you know, how we smell and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, you shouldn't feel that way because you've even said before how much you love when I do that because you know how much I love it.
Right. I'm just saying we are self-conscious about that, but really we shouldn't be. I mean, I am self-conscious about it.
But that makes no sense.
Because I just am, and I just want, you know, that would be like I would be mortified if you were like, oh God, she smells terrible down. Like, I'm so glad you love sushi.
God.
No, but seriously, it is something that I think we are anxious about, and it keeps us from having, just enjoying. I mean, everything. Sitting a certain way when we're having sex, and we know that that's where our fat rolls are going to roll. Or, you know, did we put on enough deodorant? Or did we, like, all these things that I think come in the way of just enjoying it. But my question was about pheromones and everything. Like, you know, is that like a turn on for you? Smell or touch? Like, there are so many things. And my point is, we don't ever stop and say, so what are your turn ons? Like, what do you like? Because on the other hand, maybe our partner is doing something that we hate and we haven't told them. And that's one of the reasons we don't want to have sex.
All right. So what's a turn on? Does a smell do it? No, not really. But like I said, it's just such a simple thing. Like, it's even if I hug you and kiss you, I'm ready. You know what I mean? Even if it's just like goodbye, like I'm going to work, you know, here's a hug and a kiss. I'm ready to go. You know, even if I'm just watching a movie and there's, you know, this hot girl and there was a sex scene, you know, whatever. In 2 seconds, I'm ready. You know, it's just such a, there's nothing in my mind. There's just, you know.
Don't read into it too much.
Yeah, there's just like little beads like rumbling around my brain. Like, there's not much going on.
Right.
It's like, you know, watching The Simpsons with Homer Simpson trying to think, and there's just like gears running around. Like, no, nothing's happening in your head. It's just like, okay, you're ready.
Right.
You know, this little thing.
So do you have
happens.
Turn-offs?
Yeah, I didn't think about it, but of course. I mean,
okay.
Turn-offs, I mean.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I asked people biggest turn-ons and biggest turn-offs. Let me see what I can find. Biggest turn-ons, when he plays the guitar. That's true. When you play the drums, I get super turned on.
Really?
Yeah. Cleaning the house. I mean, so many people said cleaning. Massage was a big one. Someone said watching Bridgerton. Yes, I agree with that. Let's see here. Compliments was a big one. Courtesy and respect. Spontaneity. It is nice, but it also isn't always possible. Actual foreplay. Kissing. I love kissing, too. That's a big one for me.
There's so many turn-offs. You know? So many things can happen.
Right.
Like,
people
no.
said the turn-off ones were pretty funny. Having sex right after a big meal. Oh, my God. When we've, like, gone out to eat and I feel disgusting...
Yeah.
It's like,
well, if I came in and I was ready, but you were like in the bathroom pooping, no, I'm going back to bed. I'm turned off.
That's like that This Is 40 scene where he comes in and he's like, should we? No, it's not This Is 40. It's Knocked Up. And he's like, should we have sex tonight? She's like, ugh, I'm really constipated. She's like, but maybe. And he's like, no, now I don't want to have sex.
That's a turn off.
Yeah. Wait, let me see. Turn-offs were funny. Farting.
Yeah, no good.
Bad breath, laziness, being too drunk. That's a big turn-off for me too sometimes. Like if you're really drunk and I'm sober, or, you know, I'm not as drunk and you come in, I'm sort of like, oh, this is going to suck.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. Wearing socks while having sex. Let's see.
Well, while you're looking...
Yeah.
Because you were saying, you know, when you're feeling, what's it called? You're worrying about all these things. So you're not enjoying it as much and you're not, you know, you can't have an orgasm, whatever. So I think for me and maybe some other guys too, and I was texting with someone on Instagram last night about how he said he's worried about being able to pleasure his partner. And I feel the same way sometimes. You know, Emma, if you're not having an orgasm and I feel like, oh, am I not big enough to satisfy her? You know, is that a thing? Or am I going to go too quick this time? And that sucks, you know, like it's over in 30 seconds and I'm out of here. Like even one time, a long time ago, we were messing around and ready to have sex. And I finished before I even went inside of you.
Damn, go me.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, like we have those thoughts too, you know? So it's, as we're talking, I'm trying to understand how women can be feeling and not being turned on as much.
Sometimes it's just not going to happen. And I think that's why we fake it sometimes, is because we're like, I just want to fucking go to bed. It's not going to happen.
So you fake it to say you're done.
I don't fake it anymore. I was like, I'm done with that. But
when did you fake it?
I think probably for like the first 15 years of our relationship sometimes.
So it would be done?
That's yeah, why just you do so it? We'd be done.
Not to be
because
like,
I knew that you weren't going to stop until I fucking had an orgasm. You were like,
well, isn't that nice of me?
It was like the marathon of sex until.
I think that's romantic.
It is nice, except that the other part of that is that sometimes it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I get it.
And I want, like, I just want to watch, you know, like Flip or Flop or Love It or List It or like
Flip
I just
flop.
Yeah like
oh is that a home show
yeah okay. You know, I just want to like put on HGTV and you know I'm so glad that you did it, and it doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it, I still enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You know, and what one of the big myths is that, you know, listen, only 20% of women have orgasm when penetrated, like, you know, it takes more than that. So it's not, we don't always have, it's not going to be just sex that is going to make us have an orgasm. It's other stuff.
Yeah, it's buying you things.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. No, seriously, it's other stuff. It's, and unfortunately right now it's hard because I am only half in it sometimes when we're having sex, because we do have a 15-year-old and an almost, you know, almost 13-year-old who they're gonna know. And that is, I do not like that. I am scarred from hearing my parents have sex. I really am. It was scarring for me. I cried when I heard that.
Really?
Yes.
There's been times I've come in and just been like, I just want sex.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, into having some crazy fun sex.
No, by all means, when that happens, by all means, come in sometimes, just have sex and leave. Like, I'm all for a quickie sometimes.
Oh, really?
Sometimes, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't need a whole big production.
Okay. No, I can just do that easily.
Just get to the main plot and let's get out. Like, let's go. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we have anything else.
Let me see. Well, you didn't ask me my turn-ons, but you know them.
We did it.
Right. I've done it 1,000 times. Yeah. But another thing also is, you know, feeling disconnected. That I do think that when we sit down, like when we have sometimes in the like on Saturday morning, I'll text you and I'll be like, can we have a morning meeting? Which sounds very businessy. It doesn't sound very romantic, but just sitting down and like having a meeting of the minds of what we're going to do this weekend and what do I need help with the kids?
Yeah, when you send me those texts, I roll my eyes and I'm like, okay, what does she need from me? What do I have to do?
Right.
What do I, you know, the meeting is not about.
That. No, but we sit with our coffee and it's nice to just be together.
Well, it is if you're not just saying, I need you to do this and this and this, and this is what I need from you.
But
that's what your meeting is.
Unfortunately, I do because I don't have other help. You know, I don't have, this is it.
What's
right
it?
Now, I don't have, you know, usually like pre-pandemic, I could text my mom or my dad and be like, you know, hey, because I can't do math or anything. And I'll be like, hey, you know, Ian has a math test coming up. Could you possibly come over? And like, I can't do that stuff with them right now. Like, we're so limited on help right now that even a friend who I could say, can you drive him to such and such, or can you, you know. Those things don't exist right now. So
right. This is more of what we're going to be doing for a follow-up for the Mental Load episode.
We're going to do a couple follow-ups.
Yeah, I definitely want to because, you know, when I get those texts, it's like, let's have a meeting. And, you know, to me, it's what do I have to do and what do
I
have to do now?
Maybe I should call it something else.
And then, you know, it's from the morning until night when I'm trying to go to bed, like what happened last night or 2 nights ago. At 10 o'clock, I get a text from you. Why is my TV not working? Come fix it. You know, like it's just an all day. Like those, that's what those texts mean is I have to do something, mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not as in, you know, I know what these meetings are going to be.
But it's how we're going to do things together.
I love it. I am, you know, I'm
no,
into
you
it. When we're talking about like the podcast and we're talking about what, it, you know, what's this week's episode?
It's the parenting. It's your offspring that you don't want to talk about.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I need help. Okay. And it's, I don't know. I need help. That's what I need. And if you want me to have an orgasm, then I need help. That will lead to it.
You do need help.
I do need help. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
I mean, we could talk. Listen, we have experts coming on and everything. But my main thing was that I just wanted to people to know that, listen, If you're thinking that you're the only one, or you're going through a dry spell or whatever it is, that you're not, like, you don't look around and think everybody else, whatever they're posting on Facebook and Instagram, there's a whole story behind it. So you don't know what is happening. And as somebody who speaks to, you know, hundreds of people every week about whatever we're talking about on the episode, I know we are not alone in this, that everybody is struggling and trying to find a balance, and we have our ebbs and our flows. And also, I do recommend the date night questions. They're not always going to be about sex and everything, but they do bring up things that, first of all, are fun sometimes to talk about, and also that need to be talked about.
They're rarely about sex. It's not like,
yeah,
that's a
right. Well, we've done some. We've had sort of a lot of sex episodes recently.
Yeah, so I guess, and we took a long time off of doing the Friday Five. So
yeah, I did with the pandemic. But go download it. It's free. Or send it to somebody, you know, and send it to your partner or a friend or somebody who you think will enjoy it, because you know, communication is the key.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right.
Yeah, and go rate and review, please.
Yeah. Rate and review. And if you want to support us, go buy Doge, HODL, and
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Wait, did you really put Doge on our site?
No. I'm saying if you want to support us, we'll take some Doge. Or go buy it in HODL, and then, you know,
I don't know what you're too. Like speaking another language.
Well, we're going to have an episode about it.
No,
because
you're going to have an episode.
I'm going to do an episode by myself with an expert. I don't think he's an expert, just a guy who does YouTube stuff.
Cryptocurrency.
Yeah, about cryptocurrency, because I am a fan and I hope we.
And you have a podcast and you can have whatever conversation you want.
Right.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm serious. That's a nice thing about having a podcast. We can have whatever conversation.
No, this guy is very interesting. I've been watching his videos and I want to do an episode about this. We did the finance episodes, which were very popular, and people thanked us for doing that. So if you're into crypto, I do want to do one about this, because it is the future of our economy.
Oh boy. Yeah. Are you turned on?
I'm very turned on. This is my turn
crypto?
On. Talking about Doge, I'm very turned on.
Okay. Well, if you make us a lot of money in it, I will be turned on also. <I'm trying.
laughs> Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good one. And
happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's
Yesterday.
Day.
Love you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.